Hello, everybody. My name is Dan Van Horn. I'm the senior pastor here at Trinity Baptist Church in Fairfield, Connecticut, and we want to welcome you to the TBC Provoke podcast. This is where we hope to stimulate, stir up, and provoke you to love and good deeds by taking the conversation we start on Sunday mornings and bring it into the middle of your week.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the TBC Provoke podcast. My name is Clayton, and my guest, as always, is Senior Pastor Dan Van Horn.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha means both hello and goodbye.
I better make sure to say it at the end of the podcast as well, because I just said goodbye. I got to make sure I say hello at the other end then.
Got it. Yeah. Perfect. Today is, as of this recording, it is the Election Day special. It is November 3rd. The quote-unquote fate of the nation hangs in the balance, the soul of our democracy. And yet, when it is all said and done, Jesus is still on the throne. God is still sovereign.
Yeah, I think as I look at things, I've been trying to remind myself and my wife that, you know, we're voting on a politician. We're not voting on a savior.
And amen.
I think that that gives me a little bit of space in my heart to be responsible to vote and know, it keeps my vote in perspective, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
The sun's still going to rise tomorrow, regardless of who's voted in. In fact, when people listen to this, they're going to know. Well, actually, maybe they'll know. Hopefully they'll know.
I hope we know.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we know. But the idea is, like, let's keep this in perspective that we're, as followers of Christ, we are being faithful to discern wisely and prayerfully who God has put on our heart to cast our vote for. But at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that these politicians don't unseat the Savior in our heart.
Right. That's awesome. That is absolutely right. And in a historical sense, the rise of Christendom as a cultural framework is an aberration historically, mm-hmm. right? Historically, the Christian people, the believers, those who left the cultures they were in to become members of this new kingdom, they have always been persecuted. They have not ever really enjoyed a pure cultural control or power. In fact, the submission of Jesus, modeled through believers today, constantly puts them at submission to people and policies that they do not agree with because they don't align with the kingdom.
Right.
If anything, whether you like who is in quote unquote charge or not, you should expect to be under some level of social scrutiny.
Yeah.
Right. Because you don't belong here.
Right.
This is not your kingdom. It's not your country. You are an alien, right? Once the Spirit of God comes and indwells you and begins to change you from the inside out, you stop fitting in to the world around you, because the only place you really truly can fit is the kingdom. And we know from John 15 2 weeks ago, John 16 coming up, that the spirit of this age, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world, the kingdom has nothing to do with him. And so if you're going to be a kingdom person, you don't fit in here. This is not your place.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a very important thing for us to give some attention to, is our citizenship is grounded in the kingdom of God and secure there. And so we can live faithfully as kingdom citizens of Christ, but not be afraid to engage in, you know, bringing the kingdom here to this earth, right? I mean, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's not wrong for us to engage civically toward kingdom values, but let's not put our identity in the winning or losing of the debates of this age. Rather, let's maintain our identity in Christ.
That's awesome. And in fact, you spoke specifically to this idea of identity in Christ this last weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love for us to talk a little bit together about what it looks like to create that that margin in our minds and in our hearts to pay attention to the connection we have with Jesus, because I think that is the vital aspect of our relationship with God, that we would be mindful of our connection to Jesus, that we would be aware of what it looks like for us to abide in him, because that's the difference between fruit on the vine and a branch that is fruitless, and yet we know God's desire is for us to be abundantly efficient and fruitful in the ways of our life, in the ways of following him and being obedient to Christ and being able to give evidence of that transformation that's happened within us.
Absolutely. And that the fruit of the kingdom, it has certain marks, right? It specifically, if you want to know if you are in lockstep with the kingdom, you can tell.
Yeah.
Because it is patient, loving, kind, generous, yeah, long-suffering, self-controlled. Like, all of those things are included in the DNA, the culture, the essence of the kingdom. You read, I think it was from Galatians 5.
Yeah.
I read from Galatians 5 this week. I've been reading from Philippians 2. Jesus and I talked on Monday. That's usually when I ask Jesus what it is I should be focusing on. He brought me to Galatians 5 this week. And I'll be honest, I wasn't listening to you on Sunday, Dan, when you gave the address to the passage. But when Jesus told me to read Galatians 5 this week to meditate on that, as I was reading it, I went, oh, yeah, Dan read this. This is so familiar. I actually had like a sort of like a mental experiment, mm-hmm, of sorts. Will you read for us? Are you pulling that up?
Yeah.
Will you read for us the fruits of the flesh?
Yeah.
If you can read, and here's why, because we often see this list and we look at that and we go, oh yeah, those are bad.
I'm good.
That's not in me. But I actually found myself using a thesaurus of sorts with this list and going, okay, well, what's another way to describe that? What's another way to shape that so that it feels a little closer to home?
Yeah. Well, there's certain words in here too that make us want to speed read because we get very uncomfortable with those words, right?
Right.
Sexual immorality, orgies, right? Carousing. Like, these are things that are like, whoa, I don't want to read that. Let's keep going. But the deeds of the flesh, Paul says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these.
So even now as you read it, it feels like it falls into like three categories. Sexual inward sin as a culturally, it's across the culture. It was the middle section that really perked my ears up as I was reading it, starting somewhere around strife.
Yeah, there's enmity, strife.
Okay, enmity.
Yeah.
Well, who says that anymore?
Yeah.
That's a word you read, you're like, well, that's bad. I don't even know what it is. Yeah. But literally it means to make enemies of people.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you've got enemies, folks, if in your heart, come on, it's 2020. Today is November 3rd.
The day of enemies.
It's the day of enemies. Yeah, it's election day, a.k.a. enemy day.
Yeah, lines are drawn. People are...
Right? And so if you've got enemies in your heart, if there are people you would point at, you'd be like, that's my enemy. Okay, you've got this fruit. What's the next one, Dan?
Strife.
Thanksgiving is coming, so
we all know what that's like. Jealousy.
Jealousy. We've been talking about this specifically at Trinity. Even in the case of like, because this goes back to the summer when we did Psalm 37, mm-hmm, right? To look at someone else and be like, why is it going well for them? It's not going well for me.
Right?
That's even a spiritual jealousy.
Yeah. Outbursts of anger.
Well, just go to Facebook.
Okay. Yep. And who doesn't raise their hand with that, right? Can I just say real quickly too, I think it's interesting. We're talking about the deeds of the flesh, but how many of these are all internal, right?
Right.
They're not necessarily outward actions, or at least not initially, but they're inward postures or motivations or orientations that are happening within our heart.
This is where Jesus sees them. He sees them in our hearts, right? Which he does. He says to the Pharisees, this was, we did this like four chapters ago. So about a month ago, where he says something and then immediately he goes, oh, you guys are trying to kill me in your hearts. Hey, Pharisees, I can tell you're trying to kill me in your hearts. And they, and then they all freak out. They're like, how did he know? But absolutely, Jesus sees these things in our hearts, but then we don't see them until they get out into our fingers.
Yeah. Envying, right? Like that's, right, that's one of the next ones on the list. Again, it's this internal orientation toward thinking your life's not going to be good until you have what someone else has.
Right.
That you're somehow missing out, that your life is less than because you don't have what they have.
What's the next one, Dan?
Drunkenness, carousing, which I think in the ESV is orgies.
Yeah.
And things like these.
And miscellaneous category. Yeah. Any other bad thing you could think of.
It's a very open-ended statement, but I
that's
mean,
right.
But it is necessarily because the hand of your loving Heavenly Father wants to see you grow and mature and bear more fruit. And that's only going to happen is if we allow Him to start snipping away those parts of our right. heart that are hurting us, that are sucking energy from away in life, away from the parts of our yeah. branch that need attention.
I would like to define terms.
Yes.
You use the phrase suffering. Now, it's not that there isn't suffering in our lives. And then you qualified it really quick. You go, maybe there is. Mm-hmm. Maybe because of something we've done. I believe the character of God is so good, is so true, is so kind, is so loving that there may be discomfort, mm-hmm. but discomfort is not suffering.
Yeah.
And if you have done something in your life, then he brings correction. Mm-hmm. And correction moves us towards him. When I correct my daughter, I'm moving her towards where my heart for her is. So yes, she may make choices, but she may experience discomfort
yeah.
from that. It is not suffering that yeah. she experiences. She experiences discomfort. She might experience correction. But because I love my daughter, I don't ever want her to suffer.
Yeah. You know, that's a very good point, very good distinction to make. And I don't think we necessarily do that in the midst of our lives to
right.
to make the distinction that this is a correction and not just flat out suffering.
Right.
But I think that is something we all need to be discerning of is, man, some of these things are needed corrections in my life.
Yeah.
And I want to receive them because I know that it's bettering me. It's helping me grow and yes. making me better as a follower of Christ, but as a human being. Like if it's making me better if it's truly making me better as a human being, it's making me better as a follower of Christ.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And that is the Lord. He wants to move us towards his heart for us. So anything that is pruned from our life, no matter how positively we view it, he knows that we will grow towards him when whatever that is out of the way.
Yeah.
Because even good gifts can become idols.
Yeah.
Absolute blessings can become idols. And the Lord wants us to grow towards him, not towards whatever those things are.
Right.
Right? Be that work
right.
or even freedom or liberty, right? Yeah. Liberty can become an idol. I've known folks who celebrated their freedom in Christ so much that they led others into dangerous waters.
Yeah. Sometimes God has to prune us in the sense of right. saying, you know, it's not necessarily just cutting something out of our lives, but awakening our hearts and our minds yeah. to the benefit of saying no to some things.
He is good. And he's always been faithful and he's always been true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something we have. I think an awareness of that need for pruning is something we all need. I think we could say, oh, I'm a sinner. I'm this, I'm that. But I think it comes down to creating space in our minds and our hearts to let Jesus in and do that work of pruning, not just admitting, yeah, I'm not good at this or I'm bad at that, but actually letting him have control of my anger or have control of my pride or
yeah.
have control of those idols in my life and say, I'm not going to let them determine my day. I'm going to submit them to Jesus and let him do a work in me so that a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I'm a different man because I've surrendered these things to him.
Amen. Absolutely. And I think that's our hope and our goal. Like that is the very core of our ministry at Trinity. Like we hope everybody to be in that place.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that we are a better social club or that we have more events or the coolest programs or the most people in the parking lot on Sunday. None of that matters if we are not more like Jesus in a year,
yeah,
in 5 years, in 10 years, right? If we are not fundamentally changed by the goodness of God, then our testimony is pointless.
Right. What have we been doing?
Making noise.
Having coffee.
We can't even have coffee now.
I know.
We're just making noise, and not even everybody. It's just me making noise.
Yeah.
Dan, you've got a little paper in your hand, which is the sermon squeezers that Jan faithfully prepares for us. Is there maybe one topic on here that you'd like to cover?
I think it's just to leave people with that question of what does remaining or abiding in him look like in your life?
Amen.
I mean, I think we're good to answer the question, what does it look like in general? But what does it look like in your life? Like I keep talking about this idea of making space in our minds and our hearts for Jesus to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that first happens as we make space in our day to think on him, to consider him, to chew on his words. Real quickly, we'll come back to this in 1 second. But for whatever reason, when I was studying the passage, something that struck me, and I think this is probably a kind of a God's word for me, so it's not necessarily for everyone, but it was just this thought that branches don't grow the fruit. The vines grow the fruit. Branches just hold the fruit, right?
Right.
And so for me, I need to challenge myself not to be so focused on how do I do things better or how do I be how do I behave better, right? Because I feel like that's anemic. That's missing out on the point. But how do I let God do that work in my heart? And honestly, if I make space in my head and my heart, I can pay attention to those things and not feel responsible to grow it myself, but trust him to be responsible to grow that fruit in me.
Absolutely.
And so when I think of what does remaining or abiding in him look like in my life, it looks like me giving myself margin in my daily schedule to think on him. I've been using a journal lately. Every now and then I use it and I pick it up and I put it down. But the journal has become helpful to me to think on things like, what does it look like to take care of myself? If if my body truly is a temple of the Lord, then what does it look like for me to take care of my body? Sleep, exercise, eating right, what does it look like for me to rest in the Lord, not to take naps or to play or play a game or to watch something on Netflix, but to rest in him, to consider his words and enjoy him. And, so for me, Sabbath, like trying to get better at taking a Sabbath,
a
real Sabbath. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just like a day off. But to start my day with a little bit of personal, worshiping of Jesus, but then to kind of recognize that this is a space that he's set apart for me to enjoy with him, So, trying to limit the work that I do, whether that's around the house or for the church. Those are things that I'm trying to do to focus on remaining connected to Jesus and thinking on him throughout my day. One last thing. In the YouVersion Bible app on my phone, I've been reading through the Book of Common Prayer plan, and that's been helpful to me because, it's reading a number of passages each day, but it's from different areas in the Bible, and that's just been refreshing to me. you know. And by refreshing, I mean it helps me enjoy God. And I think that's part of this idea of focusing on our connection, is not letting it be this mechanical relationship, but let it be a relationship that I can enjoy, you know?
That is awesome.
Yeah. How about for yourself?
You said to dwell with Jesus, right? And I had a conversation with Jesus this week. There were some things I really wanted to talk to him about. Yeah. I did not like the way they were going. And I had some strong words for Jesus while I was in the middle of this conversation with the Lord, where I was like, okay, what's the deal? What's the next step? You tell me what you're about to do, because I don't see a solution and I don't see any movement. Mm-hmm. And I checked myself in the middle of that conversation with him. I thought, man, I really don't want to like outstep my place here. But I know that Moses spoke to God as though he spoke to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had hard conversations with my roommates in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had hard conversations with friends and neighbors, people that I love, people that I dwell with, that I do life with. And so I sat here in a chair by myself, mm-hmm. except for Jesus, whose spirit was with me. And I had a hard conversation with Jesus. And I said, you know, if you were my neighbor, because I love you, I think I would talk to you just as I have. I need to know what's up. You know, and so dwelling with Jesus was to be very bold.
Yeah.
But then also to stop and check yourself real quick, that we can speak to God as a friend, and we can expect difficult conversations to have positive outcomes.
Yeah.
To dwell with him as though he is in your house.
Yeah.
Not at the church, not next door, not only on Sunday, but like a roommate in your house.
Yeah. It's so true that we need the freedom to talk with him, to converse with him, whether that's in prayer or through, you know, using the artistic talents he's given
Absolutely.
Us, or just reflect. What you described for me, I would say, is almost reflecting on our relationship with Jesus and on our interaction with the world around us. And to be able to have that and to understand more deeply about who Jesus is and what role he wants to have in our life is key. And I would say this, I don't think any of us have an excuse not to give some attention to Jesus, not to not be able to give margin to him, or create margin in our life to give attention to him with our minds and our hearts, because any number of us have time while we're driving down the road. Any number of us don't need to pick up our phone and scroll through our feeds.
He's real.
He is
a being.
Yeah.
He is a person.
Yeah.
Right? He has thoughts. He has emotions. He has feelings. He has desires. We get to know what those are because they've been illustrated to us through the scripture. But if you don't spend any time with the people in your life that you love, your relationships grow stale.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
If you...
And distant.
Yeah.
And unfamiliar.
My grandmother, this week, this is kind of a sad story. I called my grandmother to tell her that we're coming home for Christmas. She's getting up there, and she's on the edge of dementia.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It just sure seems like it. And she said to me, well, where are you now? Well, I've been in Connecticut for 2 years. I'm in the same place I was when I called her 4 weeks ago, right? She says, where are you? And I told her. And so I find myself repeating a lot of the same information each time I call. And she said to me, and I'm speaking about distance, because it's been almost 2 years since I've seen her. It will be 2 years come Christmas. And she said, well, I'm so glad you're coming home. I almost don't remember you.
Wow.
And then she stopped. She goes, well, no, I mean, I remember you, but I've kind of forgotten what you look like.
Mm.
And it's distance.
Yeah.
I call her. She hears me. There are photos nearby, you know, but to be able to see her and for her to see me, because we're beings, right? and we enjoy proximity as beings, that will give us another year or 2 years, yeah. you know, if decay doesn't overtake our proximity.
Yeah.
And your relationship, listener, your relationship with Jesus is no different, except his mind is perfect. The mind of Christ is perfect. He will never forget you or yeah. what you look like, but you will forget him.
So that's a perfect way to say the word dwell in John 14 yeah. is meno in the Greek. Meno in the Greek is also used in John 15. So the relationship that Jesus has with the Father is they dwell within one another.
Yeah.
And yet the invitation that Jesus makes to his followers is that we would dwell in him. And so when you think about walking with him, the relationship with Jesus, he's there. All we have to do is pay attention to him. He yeah. dwells within us and invites us to dwell in him, to connect our lives to him, to pay attention to that, and to never be worried about forgetting what he looks like, because he hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
He's still there. He's faithful. He's steadfast.
Yeah.
He's unconditionally loved us and has promised to never let go of us.
Right.
And so we dwell in him as well. And we say, what does it look like for me to connect my life to Jesus this week, to pay attention to that connection, to attend to it mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and to receive the life-giving love of the vine to flow throughout my branch, the branch of my life, and let him bear the fruit that only he can bear.
Well, hey, everybody, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I hope this provokes you unto good works, that as you hear and think about these things, that you would strike up these conversations with others, even if it's just to say, can you believe what those two knuckleheads said? But it is our sincere hope that this conversation leaves Sunday and enters into your life where the boots are on the ground. It enters into your relationships and it begins to shape and mold how you see yourself as a believer, but also how you see yourself as a part of this community. We love you. God bless. Amen.